If you will, turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. That scripture I read from the book of Acts a moment ago said that men should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord. And then here in Hebrews 11, verse 6, the apostle writes, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what people want, what they really want, they seek. Is that not true? If a person wants wealth, success, he wants to be good at some vocation, he diligently seeks that. He gives time and effort and study to attain that goal. I was watching the baseball game around supper time last night, Atlanta baseball game. And they had a rain delay, and they announced they were going to have a program on a look at the greats, the great baseball players. And so they announced they were going to talk about Ted Williams. But I've always thought he was the greatest baseball player who ever lived. Greatest hitter, Ted Williams. And he came on, and this man, Tim McCarver, was interviewing him. And he said to Ted Williams, he said, "How did you become such a great, great, great hitter? There was no hitter like him." And he said, "I lived a block and a half from the baseball field in California. And I went out there every morning and stayed all day hitting baseball." He said, "I determined that I was going to be the best hitter that ever lived. I made up my mind. And I worked at it." Well, that's what I'm talking about. Some of you men have been very successful, ladies too, in your vocation, in your profession. You rise up early. You go all day. You work hard. Some of you have studied and worked hard from morning till evening. I know something about that. I've worked hard at the ministry. I still work hard. I work very, very hard. Long hours. I never come into the pulpit unprepared. I want to do my best, don't you? We diligently seek that. And you know, if a person wants health, I found this out, that if a person wants health, good health and healing, he seeks it. Some of you read books on good health. I can get a little cold and I can get a lot of advice out there. Believe it or not, I was standing at the door one Sunday morning. I had a bad cold and different people were coming by telling me what to do about it. Some said drink orange juice. Some said take 15 or 20 vitamin C's. And some said go to a chiropractor and some... One dear person came out and said, "Now I'll tell you how to get rid of that cold." I said, "How?" He said, "Take a teaspoon and fill it full of black pepper and hold your nose and swallow that black pepper. But," he said, "don't breathe." "Don't sneeze." I said, "Thank you. Go on home." But we read books and we go to doctors and clinics. We take vitamins. We take allergy shots. We're careful about our diets. Some of you are driving me up a wall with your diets, you know. But what are you doing? You're seeking good health. And that's all right. But why? You want something and you're seeking it. Is that right? Giving yourself to it. I mean, you're careful. I wish we was as careful about these souls as we are these bodies. Just one half.
And if a person wants love and companionship, you see somebody fall in love with a person, they want to marry them, they want their fellowship or favor or love, they're
constantly calling them or constantly writing them or constantly around them, just pressuring them. They diligently seek it.
And what I'm saying is this. I'm saying if a person really wants to know the living God, I'm not talking about the God of present-day religion.
We get religion today like we do everything else, instant. We have instant coffee, instant tea, and instant religion. You come down the aisle and say what the preacher says, say, and you're fixed up for eternity. I'm not talking about that at all. But if a person wants to know the living God, if a person really has an interest in the riches of His grace, the riches of His grace, the healing of our souls, and the fellowship and favor and love of God, the marriage of the Lamb. If we were really interested in knowing the living God, then we'd seek Him. Is that right? We'd seek Him. The woman with the issue of blood did. Now, she'd spent everything she had on physicians and was none better. But she knew if she could get to Christ, she said, if I can just touch His garment, I'll be made whole. And that poor woman crawled on her hands and knees through the crowd of people to get to Christ. She diligently sought Him. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting by the wayside when Christ came by, he just kept crying, and people tried to discourage him. They tried to get him to be quiet, but he wouldn't be quiet. The man was blind. The man was blind. He wanted to see. Oh, God, that I may see. The Ethiopian eunuch, do you know how far that man journeyed from Ethiopia to Jerusalem? And he went by chariot. He went by chariot from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to seek the Lord. He went through all the ritualism and ceremonialism of the Jewish feast days in Jerusalem trying to find the living God. And the men of Macedonia, what did Paul say? They appeared to me in a vision, and the men of Macedonia said, won't you come over and help us? Please come and help us. And did not our Lord say, seek ye first and foremost the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. All these things that, He said, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? These are the things that the Gentiles, the heathen, seek. But seek ye first and foremost, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His redemption. And these other things will be added to you. David said, I'm old. I've been young. I've never seen God's seed forsaken. I've never seen God's seed begging bread. Seek the Lord. Seek the giver and you'll have the gifts. I found an old hymn that said, seek ye first. Not earthly pleasure, fading joy, failing treasure. Seek the love that knows no measure. Seek ye first God's kingdom. Seek ye first God's peace and blessings. You have all if this possessing. Come, your need and sin confessing. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first, and then when forgiven, pardoned, made an heir of heaven, all your life to Him will be given. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first on Him relying. His grace is sure, all your needs supplying. Glory is purchased by His dying. So seek ye first the kingdom of God. I say to the children here, young people, seek the Lord. How old must a person be to believe God? Do you know? There's a church right now having a little difficulty about baptizing a young boy 9 or 10 years of age. I don't see what the problem is. Something in the Word say that a young man 9 or 10 can't know God? Turn to Jeremiah. Let's see what God says about that. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. You children, seek the Lord. You don't have to be a theologian to know God.
You don't have to know all the doctrines of the Bible to love God. You children here are capable of loving your parents, aren't you? Well, are you not capable of loving God? You children here are capable of depending on your parents to meet your need. Are you not then capable of depending on Christ to meet your need? It's the same thing. He said, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that believe Him? If your son asks a bread, would you give him a stone? If he asks a meat, would you give him a serpent? You see what I'm saying? You can trust your parents, you can trust God, if you believe God. Jeremiah 1, listen to this, verse 5 through 7. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, I can't speak, I'm a child. But the Lord said, say not, I'm a child. Thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And you know what he said to Timothy one time? He said, let no man despise thy youth. I tell you, gray hair doesn't have a corner on God. That's exactly right. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ was sitting one day, and you can read it. I won't turn to it, Matthew 19. But he was sitting there and speaking and blessing the people. And some ladies brought their children. And the disciples remind me of some of the Reformed elders today. They said, get those kids out of here. He doesn't have time for those kids. What can kids know? What can children know? Get those children out. Put them back in the back somewhere while us old folks worship God. And boy, our Lord rebuked them, didn't he? He said, you suffer these little children to come to me, and don't you forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. And except you be converted and become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of God. Is that not what he said? So I say to our boys and girls, you seek the Lord. You seek the Lord. And I've said it so often to you, you walk in the light God gives you, and He'll give you more light. And if you come to this pastor and say, I'm trusting Christ, I believe Christ, I'm resting in Him, I'm a sinner saved by His grace, I want to confess Him. We'll confess Him, young person. I can't see people's hearts. I can't see it, people's hearts. There may be a child come to me who really knows God. There may be an older person like Demas. So I don't know, Ron. But I say, children, seek the Lord. And you who teach these children's classes, you encourage them to close with Christ. Not pressure them now. I refuse to do that. Not pressure them. Not pressure them. Not talk for them. Not say, honey, it's about time you join the church. That's an abomination. But as God works in their hearts, you encourage them. Don't discourage them. God forbid that I should shoo any child away from the Master. Isn't that right? And I say this, sinners, you seek the Lord. There are people sitting right here in this congregation who, it's just your life has been a life of confusion and trouble and trial and conflict. Well, I tell you, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for sinners. He delights to show mercy. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Would you? But thank God there's forgiveness with Him. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness God requires is to feel your need of Him. And I'll tell you this, I speak this word of encouragement to all who you look back and see just, you know, some folks look back over their lives and feel quite proud of them, and they are in trouble. But some folks can look back over their lives and be real downcast because of it. Well, you're the very fella Christ came to save. The very fella. The very person. That's right. You look through the Bible. You look through the Bible. Our Lord, old Nicodemus came to the Lord. He's proud of his life. He was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. He was a moralist. He was a teacher of the Scriptures. And he wanted to debate with God. He wanted to discuss theological issues. And our Lord just sent him away. He said, you've got to be born again. You're not going to understand what I'm talking about. If I've told you earthly things and you can't comprehend them, how would you handle heavenly things? Why don't you just go your way? That's exactly what he was saying. But in the next chapter, he came to a woman who'd been married five times. and was at that time living with a man who was not her husband. And you know, he sat down on that well and talked to her. Talked to her about living water. Talked to her about God's grace. Talked to her about worshiping God. That's one of the longest conversations he had with anybody, with that woman at the well. And she went away rejoicing. That's right. And then you can go through the Bible. You'd see that, how our Lord went down to the land of the Gadarenes, and how the one man there that you wouldn't expect God to save is the one he saved. That one out in the tombs. The fellow that was all confused and troubled. And my Lord left him clothed and in his right mind, and the rest of those religious folks ran him out of town. He went to the cross of Calvary, and whom did he call there? A thief? A thief? You can go through the Word and find that. So I say, let not conscience make you linger. Seek the Lord. Children, seek the Lord. Older folks, seek the Lord. Young men, seek the Lord. Let me ask you this. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? What if you have good health? You go out jogging and you play tennis and you do all these things and you got the good health and all these things, but it's just a short time. What if you are the best at your business? What if you have the biggest house on the block? What if you have all the money? What if everything you touch turns to gold? It'd be a whole lot better if God had turned your heart around. A whole lot better. I tell you, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's exactly right. And everything, I know everything in this United States is bigger and better and greater and finer and all this foolishness. But we need to come back to the simplicity of Christ. The simple things. We're all, I tell you, too much taken up with it. Too much materialism. Too much. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world? The world's honor, the world's materialism, the world's fame, the world's glory, the world's friendship, and lose his soul. But seek the Lord. And I say to the old people here, seek the Lord. The dying thief did. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Two questions. The first question is this. What is it to seek the Lord? I'm going to be very plain and simple. What is it to seek the Lord? Well, number one, I know this. To seek the Lord is to discover that I need the Lord. I'm not going to seek the Lord until I discover I need the Lord. A man doesn't seek what he already has. Huh? Our Lord said, the well do not need a physician. They don't seek a physician. Who seeks a physician? Sick people. Well, who seeks the Lord? Sinners. That's right. Our sins have separated us from God. And to seek the Lord, the first thing we discover is we do not have God. We may have religion. We may have a God. We may have a system of theology. A tradition handed down to us from someone else. But by nature, we do not have God. And those who seek the Lord, who genuinely seek the Lord, do so because they're aware they need the Lord. They're aware of their sin, they're aware of their need, they're aware of their emptiness. Something's missing. Someone's missing. Actually, the vital issue in person's missing. David said in Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Blot out my transgressions. All right, here's the second thing. What is it to seek the Lord? It's to discover that I do not have the Lord, that I need Him. Secondly, to seek the Lord is to sincerely and really desire His presence, His favor, and a living union with Him. You see, there were people who came to him in the New Testament, but they were interested in healing, not in him. You remember that in John chapter 2? When they saw the miracles which he did, many believed on him. But he did not commit himself to them because he knew their hearts. It was not Christ they wanted. It was the benefits. It was the healing. I detect that in much religion today. It's not really God, the living God. It's not really Christ that people want. It's that healing of the body. That's the reason they emphasize this healing of the body, this two cars in every garage and financial success and healing of the body. That's what these preachers are majoring on because that's what people are interested in. Another group came to Christ and he said, I know why you're following me. You're following me for the loaves and fishes. The Jews wanted a kingdom. When he rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, they started taking their clothes off and throwing them in front of him and throwing palm branches. And they said, Hail him that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hail the new king. A few days later, they were crying, Crucify him. It wasn't Christ. Christ in his true character, Christ in his redemptive work, Christ on his redemptive mission that they wanted a kingdom, a Jewish kingdom. So what I'm saying to seek the Lord is to really desire His presence, His favor, and a living union with Him. Paul said, Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. When the prodigal son came home, what was he seeking? Well, he wasn't seeking honor or acclaim or position. He said, Father, I'm not worthy to be called a son. Let me be a hired servant. But what I'm looking for is your forgiveness and your fellowship. That's what I'm saying. We're not seeking the Father's house, we're seeking the Father. We're not seeking the gifts, we're seeking the giver. When a man seeks the Lord, he'll seek the Lord. Now, that's what I'm saying. He'll desire to know the living God. Oh, that I may know Him. Christ said, You come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Look upon me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Me, to know God. Paul said, I know how to abound, and I know how to be abased. Paul knew what it was to be popular, and he knew what it was to be in prison. But in either place, he knew Him. Either place, he knew Him. I've learned in whatsoever state I am, whether with plenty or poverty, it's not the plenty or poverty that makes the difference. It's His presence. Content with beholding His face, my all to His pleasure resign. No change of season or place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of His love, a palace, a toy would appear. And prisons would palaces prove, if Christ dwells with me there. That's what I'm saying, is to seek Him. Him. And our whole religious philosophy today, I'm sorry to say, I get real unhappy and real frustrated and want to sometimes throw in the towel because I can't get the ear of people. I'm not preaching a form. I'm not preaching a denomination. I'm not preaching a law. I'm not preaching a religious tradition. I'm trying to declare a living, sovereign, almighty, eternal God who has reconciled the sinners in Christ His Son. You see what I'm saying? Burn this building down. Just burn it down. It won't make any difference. Won't make any difference. Make any difference whether we live on a desert island or live in the middle of the tri-state area. God is God, and God's not worshipped with men's hands and temples and altars and shrines and crosses and funny signs and all this sort of thing. God's worship with the heart is to know Him. I want to know God. I need Him. I need His mercy. I need His love. I need His grace. I need His forgiveness. I need Him. Him. And when we seek Him, that's when we're going to find Him. He said, you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And that's the third thing. To seek the Lord is to be willing, to be accepted on His terms. Now, if people talk about give your heart to the Lord, you make a decision. You accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's not my problem. I want Him to accept me. The issue is not me accepting Him. He's where He is. He's going to stay there. It doesn't matter whether I accept Him or not. It's not going to change the situation. But it makes a lot of difference if He accepts me. It makes a lot of difference. He doesn't need cleansing. I do. He doesn't need accepting. I do. He doesn't need forgiving. I do. He hadn't been astray. I have. He didn't leave. I did. You see what I'm saying? That's just like the criminal coming into the judge and saying, I believe I'll accept pardon. And the judge says, you'll accept one if I give one. But I'm not giving them today. I want to be accepted of him. I want to be justified. You see what I'm saying? I wish we did. And what I'm saying is, we come to God. We seek God on his terms. Well, my daddy was a Baptist, so I'll be one. That's bad reason. Well, my mother was a Catholic, so I'll be one. Or my, this, that, and the other, you know. We're going to dictate the terms. I'll come, but not that way. But I'm saying this. The old hymn writer said, nothing in my hands I bring. Nothing. Nothing. Nil. Zero. Simply to thy cross I cling. And I say this, leave your religious tradition at the door. Just leave it there. Well, I always thought, leave it. Well, the way I was brought up, that's your problem, was the way you was brought up. You came from Adam. Well, I've always stood for the old paths. Get off the old paths and get in the new covenant. Those old paths never helped anybody. That's exactly right. I know what I'm talking about. Leave your tradition at the door. Your creeds, your catechism, your ceremonies, all you think you know, leave it at the door. And leave your righteousness and works at the door. What you've done is filthy rags in God's sight if Christ doesn't make them white as snow. Leave them at the door. Well, one preacher stood in this pulpit and said, I tell you, I've never tasted whiskey, never smoked a cigarette, and never danced. And somebody back there said, praise the Lord. Just so full of self-righteousness, it stinks. Leave it at the door. I'm telling you, I'm just speaking plain this morning. Leave your thoughts at the door. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Leave it at the door. Leave everything. Come naked, empty-handed, ignorant, as a child, broken, stripped, before God, and come in Christ. Come in Christ. That's right. Look into him. Look into him. Leave it at the door. Let me show you a scripture, Romans 9. You got to look at this. This illustrates exactly what I'm saying. Romans chapter 9. This illustrates exactly what I'm saying. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. Now, you got to see this. Romans 9, verse 30. Listen to it. What then shall we say? What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, I'm talking about the pagans, which followed not after holiness, they followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness. They've attained it. Even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, they had the tabernacle, the temple, the ceremonies, the prophet, have not attained it. What's going on here? Look at the next verse. Why? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, and they stumbled at the stumbling stone. See that? And that's what's happening right here today, right here in the United States, in Ashland, Kentucky, Boyd County. Boyd County is one of the most religious places I've ever been. But the people who have no religion at all, are going to attain a righteousness by looking to Christ. And all these religious folks around here are going to miss it because they're trying to attain that righteousness by their works, by their religion, by their tradition. That's exactly right. They're serving God. Now you listen to them. They're faithful to God. They're serving God. They go to church. They tithe. They pray. They fast. They do all these things. Been doing it for years. And that's what the Jews said. Got a corner on God. And missed him all year. So what is to seek the Lord? Is to know I need him. And it's to seek him. Not somebody's version of him or imagination or thoughts. Seek him, the living God. And it's to be willing to be accepted on his terms. Now, if God's sovereign, you better bow to him. If salvation is the gift of God, then that's the way it'll come to you. If he'll show mercy on whom he'll show mercy, then that's where you're going to get mercy. Now, you might as well face it. You're not believing, it's not going to change it. Is God on the throne? Then that's the God you're going to deal with. That's just so. And then fourthly, what is to seek the Lord? Is to be willing to part with all that stand between me and a full fellowship with Him. That's just so. There are not too many girls that marry a fella that had four or five otherwise, would you? She said, I'm going to be the only one you have, or I'm not going to be number three. That's right. Well, how do you think the Lord of Glory is going to be number two or three or four with you? You just think about that a little bit. I've got to have His favor, His fellowship. I've got to hear and feed on His work. I've got to be identified with His people and His gospel. In other words, if I want Christ, I'm going to order my home life, my social life, my companionship in such a way that I can walk with Christ. That's exactly right. So be it. So that I can walk with Christ. I tell you this. Let me answer the second question just in 3 or 4 minutes. But how do men seek the Lord? That's why I seek Him. How do men seek Him? Well, first of all, they seek Him. Not the right form or order or right church. They're seeking Christ. And then they seek Him sincerely. I want you to turn to Jeremiah 29. Now, this is something I have a problem with, and I want to present it to you. Jeremiah 29. He says in Jeremiah 29:13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And what I'm saying is this, there's something radically wrong when too much time passes and no peace is found. That's something wrong. It just doesn't take God that long to save a fellow. The Scripture says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're going to be filled. And this thing looking for salvation for 10 years or 5 years or 4 years, I don't believe it takes God that long to save a man who's sincere. Who's sincere. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. I'm simply saying when you seek the Lord with all your heart, He'll be found. And we seek Him continually. And you know, the Scripture says we seek Him early. Early. That's not talking about early morning. That means now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Seek Him now. Seek Him now. Look to Christ. Look to Christ.